Hey, you got to come early, you know, to church. Come early, get to Sunday school. And then you got to get Tom's jokes, weekly jokes, before we start. So he's always got some words for us here. You know, you go to work or around different places, and they've got signs up to help you, you know, to consider things, you know. It's like, you know, the one that if you first you don't succeed, skydiving isn't for you. Yeah, there's signs to help you, you know. A clear conscience, if you have a clear conscience, is a sign of a bad memory. So there are signs to help. Office signs that we've run across. You fishermen or hunters probably have heard this before. The worst day of fishing is better than the best day of working. The bumper stick said, I owe, so off to work I go. And the one that's, hard work may not kill me, but why take a chance? And then there's work fascinates me. I can sit and watch it for hours. Laziness. Have you ever been called lazy? You don't have to raise your hand. It could be in different contexts. You can be lazy in different ways. You know, there's physically laziness. There's mental laziness. And then the worst of all, there's spiritual laziness. So we're going to tackle a few of those this morning. And you know, you can be physically lazy. And you know people, everybody knows people that don't really do too much. You know, they do the bare minimum of things. And you know, I've worked a lot. We used to be working, or the crew working, and putting graphics on one side of the trailer and get done and go around on the other side. And of course, those people are sitting down or lying down in a crate of decals and just enjoying their time, their rest, usually on the phone. But so you got one side working, one side decided, you know, they were pretty tired. Spend a lot of time, of those employees that spend a lot of time in the bathroom. Seem to be gone for large extended periods of time. Found some asleep in the stall, actually. Drivers supposed to pull trailers, can't find them for a while. Find them parked between trailers, taking a break. Sometimes with their eyes closed. For some, it's quite a chore just to show up for work every day. You know, that's quite an expectation. You know, when 2 or 3 days of work should be satisfactory. The same people who struggle with living arrangements and generally taking care of themselves. And they just lack the desire and the effort to work. And some of them are that way, and you try to help and you can't because they won't help themselves. You have to want the desire to help yourself. You see it in people, you see it in kids. You know, and our grandkids, you have the ones that say, well, we need to do this, get this cleaned up, and you see the ones that doesn't move or has something else to do at that time. And then you have the ones that jump right up, and I mean, they're into it. They've got a broom and a dustpan and going at it. Some are eager, some are not. But they're no different than adults. Adults just postpone things or make excuses why they won't do what needs to be done. Some just want to do the basics. You know, the old eat, sleep, watch TV, play video games. You know, that fills the day. You know, it's become the main interest in life. Some are just mentally lazy. And I think those evolve back to the eat, sleep, watch TV, and play video games. They don't want to think about deeper meaning things or solving problems or dealing with work that requires both of those things to happen. You got to figure out things and change things, and their thinking gets sort of blunted with that. I'm not saying you can never do that. Can't do any of those things. Some things are okay for a limited time. Sometimes you just need a break from reality. You really do. And You know, for you know, I do some of those things. You know, I sports on TV, I watch. I enjoy sports, but it's also a break from, you get to kind of be in a fantasy world. You're watching something. You enjoy teams play, rooting for something. You're not quite thinking about all the other stuff going on around you. When I was doing the other job too, you know, there were stressing days. All kinds of things going on that you gotta grab your grandkids and play with them. It completely takes your mind off all that other stuff. Gives you a release. You know, some play guitar, I plink mine. So plinking a guitar even takes your mind to other things, just when you want to sit down and because you're concentrating a little bit, and takes your mind off the world around you. It's okay to go there, but don't stay there. You can even sleep in and enjoy it. Just don't make it a habit. Just don't do it every day. Don't let it control your time. You've got work to do. I want to start out in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9 and then drop down to 15. But Genesis 2, 8 and 9 says, "Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." God put all that there. Now, why did he put that there? He grew all this stuff. He's got a nice garden. He takes the man, puts him, plunks him down in the middle of it. Why did he do that? Well, verse 15 tells us why. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it." He created us for work. He created us to do things. Now, he created us for his enjoyment, you know, to praise him and worship him. But that can be shown in the work we do. You know, if we're obedient to what he calls us to do, that goes back to him. You know, he created us to do good works. And yeah, good works won't get you there. Good works, you cannot do anything to get to heaven, to spend eternity with God. You cannot do anything in and of yourself. The only thing you have to do is accept what he already did. You cannot work your way to heaven. Nothing you can do can get you there. But I believe once you get there, once you're part of him, the Holy Spirit's in you, I don't think you can do anything then to not get there. It's all up to him, not up to you. You know, he put him in the middle of the garden. It was all there. The food, everything they needed. We just had to take care of what was already there. We were originally made to be a gardener. Then maybe a time, I don't know with what happened, maybe a time of idleness. Maybe they thought, or Eve said, we did that yesterday. We don't have to do that today. Let's take a break. You know, let's just chill out today. Let's just relax today. And sometimes that's when things come into our minds, our hearts, and maybe in some idle time we let sin in. We were transferred from a gardener to a farmer. Nothing wrong with farmers, but it's a lot more difficult. Because then you gotta grow it yourselves. You gotta work the garden, you gotta work the ground, you gotta fight the thorns and the thistles. Work became much more harder than what was planned, what was intended. You know, laziness creeps on us too, as we always search for things to make life easier. We create things to make life easier. And along the way, we become a little lazy and we get really dependent on technology. Has anybody seen the movie WALL-E? W-A-L-L-E. Tom? Okay. Somebody else watches kids' shows besides me. Okay. It's a Disney show from several years ago, but if you watch... called WALL-E. You learn stuff from these stuff. You got to watch these shows now. Kung Fu Panda has lots of words of wisdom in it. You know, there's things you got to watch these shows for. But WALL-E, the movie, the world was a mess. People had created just a disaster, a mess. Everything was dead. There was nothing there. Matter of fact, they had left Earth and were living in spaceships. Okay, big, gigantic spaceships. That's where they lived because the Earth wasn't really there. And the only thing on Earth was basically trash robots cleaning up all the mess. And there were very few of them left, and one of them was named Wally. His name was Wally. Now again, Wally had feelings. He had a little smarts. He enjoyed watching videotapes that he could get to work. So Wally did a lot of stuff, but his daily, he went, stuff in him, made a square in it, stacked them up. He kept stacking trash, made pyramids of trash. That's what he did, cleaning up the earth. And just metal and concrete until one day he finds a sprig, you know, a little plant, a couple leaves on it. And that's pretty special. And he carries that around with him. He just guards that. That's special. Because he has that plant. Trying to cut this down, I can tell you it all. But anyways, another robot comes to test and see if the world's inhabitable, if they could come back. Well, it's a girl robot. And they go through various things. But his girlfriend, finally, the two robots end up on the spaceship. Okay, they end up on the spaceship. And we see people literally have everything done for them. They ride around on a recliner chair. You know, every place they go on the ship, they're on a recliner chair. They just stop and get a haircut, stop and get a bath, a shower, stop and get fed. And everything by robots and the like. Well, they travel around, they even travel around to fake vacation spots. You know, they go here and they're on the beach, but still in this chair. Get their drinks and stuff, but it's all going around. And we've already talked about AI, so I'm not going to go there. But anyways, by this time, of course, they're pretty large people. Because they don't get out of that chair. They're pretty large. The muscles haven't been used. Okay, so they're just kind of blobs going around in these chairs doing this thing. And the end was, the effort was for this person to get out of a chair and press a button to save the day. You know, that's where it got to. And it was with great effort, this man forced himself and his body to walk the few steps over to press the button and save the day. So it's a happy ending. But look around. Everything we're doing is to get us in that position almost, just to make life easier, just to do things for us. Yeah, you remember when we had to get up to change the channel on TV. TV was great, but you had to get up. And luckily, it was only 5 or 6 turns. There weren't many channels. Can you imagine 300 of them today trying to turn the channel? You know, got to a point. Use your kids. Hey, get up there, change that channel. Kids got to change the channel. Until the remote came into play. Awesome was the remote. Now we panic when the remote can't be found or the grandkids have played with it. Not that I know that, but TV and radio can entertain us a lot now. We don't even have to entertain ourselves. We don't have to go outside, think up games. We're just entertained by all the inventions we have. You know, rocker recliners were invented. They have those. A lot of people have rocker recliners now. So, you know, basically, we only have to get up if we want to go to the refrigerator for the bathroom. And I really believe they have a chair for one of those. I don't have one, but I believe they do. You know, we could go on with microwaves and air fryers and, you know, cell phones. You don't have to get up to answer the phone anymore. It's not hooked to the wall anymore. It's hooked to our pocket. Never leaves. All things to make us, and many others, so we don't have to work so hard. Again, I'm not saying it's all bad, but they do allow for abuse. You can order practically anything you want online, have it delivered to your door. You don't have to leave the house. You don't have to go to the bank. You can use any number of digital apps to move your money, pay your bills, make deposits. As we talked before, it's going to be easier in the tribulation because there's going to be something everybody's going to have to use. It'll be on them all the time. Order groceries, they'll shop for you. They'll bring it to your door. They'll deliver. Pay bills online. Bada bing, bada boom. Snail mail, emails have taken most of it. We all get the trash in the mail. That's about one trash and every now and then a bill if they don't automatically email it to you. But emails have replaced. Again, not saying these things are bad, but again, they can be abused. And they even have, and I got a pair, the Skechers slip-ons. You don't even have to tie your shoes anymore. I was going to say old fat people don't have to buy their shoes anymore. But I realize I are one. So I changed it to people don't have to bend down and tie their shoes anymore. But it's not just old people that get them. Young people are getting them. So Skechers, slip-ons, no more bending down. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15. It says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as ourselves can't talk this morning. Offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They're not busy. They're busybodies. Such people command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. What you can't be is spiritually lazy. You can get by with some of the other stuff, but spiritual laziness doesn't work. God's called you to be obedient for the job He has for you. And the warning of idleness is pretty strong. And this isn't for the world. This is for believers. He says, keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and not living according to God's word. It's quite a warning. Don't be just busy. Don't be busybodies. We can do a lot of things that may look like work, appear like work, but we're just being a busybody. Not getting much accomplished. Idleness, laziness opens us up to temptations, opens us up to confusion, opens us up to doubts. You have to be active in obedience to God and His Word. It's reading it for yourself. Get no hold hand. No hands need to be raised. But how many read their Bible this past week? How many read it this past week? It's reading. Good job, Tyler. It's reading your Bible. But it's more than that. It's studying it. Studying it to really dig in. If you have a question, to seek the answers. To dig a little further. And then mostly it's following it. You read it, make yourself understand it. Help, have the Holy Spirit help you to get understanding. And it's following. Can't just leave it there. Got to do something with it. You have to follow it. And it's doing it yourself. You know, it's not just listening to what others have to say. You know, that's easy. There's some great pastors on TV. I like David Jeremiah too. I like some of the others, but it can't be just that. It can't be just listening to them. You got to test what messages are being given to see if they're in the Bible, if they line up with what the Bible says is true. It's putting the time and the effort in to know the truth of the gospel from the lies of today. You won't know if somebody's telling you the truth unless you know the truth. You know, it's coming to church with a plan in mind. To offer worship. To offer praise. To offer thanksgiving. A plan to listen and take in what the Holy Spirit has for you. And I don't know what that is. But He does. He's got something for you. But you have to give to get. You have to give to get. You just can't be the pew potato, as they say. Can't be the pew potato. We'll have an invitation in just a minute. I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. Most of you know this. Second Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Now, are you in a position to be approved by the boss? Now, God's the boss. Are you a worker? Can you honestly say, I'm a worker? Do you do the best you can? I think that's all He asks. Just do what you can. What is it that motivates you to go to work? Is it money? Is it prestige? Is it recognition? Or is it simply the grace of God? You know, work is a blessing from God. Work isn't easy, but a job well done doesn't give you a great satisfaction and a sense of accomplishment when things are done. Gives you a joy to be a part of it and see what your work has created or helped with. Brings a joy. I think He wants you to have that, especially in conjunction when you're working with Him. And diligence in your work. Diligent. You got to be diligent. You got to keep at it. It'll bring spiritual growth. You will grow. And every believer has a job assignment. I may have others, but every believer has one. That's Matthew 28:18-20. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You've got a tremendous job to do. Lots of responsibility if you're a believer. But the boss is right there. You know, most of us don't like the boss to be right there sometimes. But this is a good time. This is a good one to have right there. God's right there with you. The Holy Spirit's right there with you, guiding you. You're not alone in what He's asked you to do. He's right there with you. He's with you always and forever. So don't be lazy. Take your breaks. Sleep in every now and then. Do the things you enjoy to get some clarity, some refreshing. Maybe that's reading the Bible. Maybe that's understanding it. Maybe that's studying it. Maybe that's turning to Him. But don't be lazy about it. That lets sin creep in. Be diligent in your work. be a worker for God. Let's pray.